This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, what's going on, everyone? How's everybody doing with all the snow on November the 15th, huh? Welcome to Nanook of the North. The North Pole, something like that. But it's a good thing we have Hollywood Nick Asher to warm things up on a chilly, wet, disgusting, nasty Thursday night. Hi, Hollywood. How are you?
So how are you doing in the comfort of your own home versus braving the roads and coming to hang out with the rest of us? As all of us are in studio, but yeah. You get the special rooster treatment and get to sit in, I guess, your underwear in your house.
I'm not in my underwear, you dummy.
I mean, we can't prove it either way. Yeah, so.
Well, I could take a picture if you'd like.
You could. But if you have pants underwear on, it wouldn't be as funny as if you took a picture with pants off. I'm just saying.
No, here's the deal. First of all, you live in Annapolis.
Yes.
Okay. And it's a much easier shot from you to get from Annapolis to D.C., and I'm sure there was no snow, no inclement weather, anything like that. Here in Loudoun County, the richest county in America, we were just taken out by multiple inches of snow and ice and sleet and frozen rain and everything you could imagine. They are literally closing the schools for the next 3 weeks. So the next time these kids go to school and do anything productive will be 3 days before Christmas, when then they close it again for 2 more weeks.
And back in your day, you used to walk uphill both miles in the snow barefoot, right?
Barefoot with broken glass underneath the snow.
Oh, geez. Where did you go to school? That sounds awful.
I don't know. That's what my stepdad used to tell me. Anyway, good to have you guys with us here on a, again, snowy, wet, kind of weird Thursday night. I'm not sure how many people actually went to work. I am at work. I'm just not at work.
Well, yeah, Vic is shaking his head right now saying that does not count as being at work. I just want to point that out.
I mean, listen, I'm taking one for the team. First of all, it's probably a good thing because my windshield, I left my windshield wipers on, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I went to go get, like, clear the snow, I forgot to turn off the windshield wipers, and the thing snapped off the bracket.
Oh, that's the worst.
And
I've
so
had
I had
happen.
To drive, because I'm an idiot, and you could probably cut that up, I had to drive to the auto repair shop with it pouring and sleeting or whatever it was doing, because it was doing just about everything today out here, without being able to see through the driver's side part of my windshield. It was terrible. Thankfully, they were able to, boom, fix it real quick, adjust the bracket, bing, bang, boom, and I was done. And I was actually able to see. But because of that, I wasn't able to make the long sojourn in to join you and to keep you two dummies in check.
Excuses, excuses, excuses. Yeah. Look, the funny thing is that's the first thing I thought of today. I looked at the weather and I said, traffic and Chris Russell will be just at the extreme levels tonight. But I don't get to see that because you didn't leave the house. So, I mean, at this point, we just have to sit here and imagine what it would have been like had we had a camera in your car when you did this. But, it wasn't too bad up in Annapolis. It was enough where it was nasty. I mean, driving in on 50, there were multiple wrecks. So I certainly saw that. But I took the SUV to make sure. That's why we got the damn thing. So on days like this, when I got to come in, I'm like, well, I'm driving the SUV. Wife works from home most of the time, so easy enough for me.
Wait a second.
But it's nasty out
there.
Wait
a second. As a television star, you did not have your own limousine service today?
Yeah, I did not. The limousine service was shut down today because of the inclement weather. They said something about offering it up to somebody named a rooster, and they weren't really sure what that meant, but he declined.
Yeah.
So apparently you were going to get the treatment over me today, neither one of us got it.
Okay. I got you now. I got you. I thought that's how you roll. I thought NBC Sports Washington has you on every day limousine service because you are, after all, the co-host of Wizards. outsiders.
I requested it, but it did not get put in my contract, unfortunately. So apparently you have to be Brian Mitchell in a private helicopter.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Anyway, we will get past all this shtick, and we will actually get to a show. There's a number of things I wanted to talk about. A big day on the radio station, number one. First, coming up next hour, we're going to hear we'll talk to Craig Hoffman just after 7:30, our Redskins beat reporter. He's been out at Redskins Park. Saw him yesterday when I was out there. And today he sat down with Brian LaFamina, who everybody now knows that name, as the new, you know, basically head honcho of marketing and business operations at the Washington Redskins, and a guy who I've yet to met personally, meet personally, I should say. Let me say that in better English. I've only been doing this radio thing for 23 years. I've yet to meet him personally, but I feel like I kind of know him. I feel like he's one of the best people that the Washington Redskins have brought into that organization in a real long time. That's not to say he's the only good person. There are plenty of good people. Eric Schaefer, I think Jay Gruden's a good guy, so on and so forth. But I think he's a really solid guy from what it seems like and from everybody that has had interactions and dealings with him. So Craig sat down with LaFamina today, and it's very timely, obviously, because of what Josh Norman said and has kind of stood by on Sunday after the win in Tampa Bay and with a big home game coming up this Sunday. So we're going to play a small portion of that interview that Hoffman did with LaFamina right before he comes on. He'll join us at 7:30, so we'll get more from him. The whole interview will air in its entirety Sunday on Countdown to Kickoff with Earl Forsey and Andy Pollin, I believe around 10:30, but we'll get a small portion of the interview. We'll have Hoffman on to do that and much, much more, Nick. But I also wanted to get into what Alex Smith said to Chad earlier today. First of all, Dukes, I mean, he's best friends with Larry Michael. He basically runs Redskins Nation now. He's got Adrian Peterson coming on the show and last Thursday, and now he gets Alex Smith. So kudos to Dukes. So he gets Alex Smith, and the cut that I heard you play at 5 o'clock, and I know we'll play it back probably coming back from the next break, was something that I really found myself in total agreement with Alex Smith. And it's basically the point that I've been making all along, which is fan support, loyalty, and passion from this fan base, from any fan base, is earned. It is not expected. It is not automatic. It is not taken for granted. And for far too long, I know this for a fact, for far too long, Dan Snyder, Bruce Allen, and some of the other dope ex-head honchos that have been run out of this organization over the years took this fan base for granted way too long and never thought they would run away, never thought they would turn their back on this organization. And I'm not encouraging that they do, but the reality is that they have in a lot of cases. And I found myself going, yep, absolute way to go, Alex Smith, based on what he said to Chad, which was basically, we have to go out and earn this. Not earn the division title, Nick, not earn a playoff spot. We have to earn the fan support and passion and energy back to FedEx Field.
He's got the right attitude, but like I think you and I talked about this before. They both can be right. Like, both sides can be right in this. Like, any NFL player is going to want a great home field advantage. You want that great home environment. But every fan wants to make a point when you're past the point of just not being able to take it anymore in terms of the current road that an organization was going. We know coming into this year, and we talk about the changes, and Brian LaFamina is certainly the name that everybody loves to continue to throw out there because he's that guy that tends to rub everybody the right way, which is a nice change of pace. The thing is the only way as fans that you can ever really make a point is by hitting an owner in the wallet, by affecting a team's bottom line, by affecting the type of money and the cash flow that an organization has. And the way that you do that is by not showing up to games, buying beers, buying hot dogs, paying for parking. All of those things, if it's done in mass quantities, which it is with Redskins fans right now, helps you make a point. Now, it probably, I would argue, should have been done 2 or 3 years ago. It's been a long time coming for fans to say, I've had enough. Also, too, is the fact that everybody's tired of FedEx Field, and as the narrative continues to snowball, as everybody continues to talk, Russell, about how bad of an experience FedEx is, people that were maybe on the fence are starting to go, you know what? You're right. I hate it there. Like, it sucks. And so that now has been ingrained in other people's minds, which also increases the likelihood that a lot of these people are just not going to show up to the games. But, hey, look, you make a point as a fan, and that's good. But now that the team is 6-3, and you've got a big game coming up on Sunday and moving forward and a two-game lead in the division, you then also have to take into account, okay, what have we asked for? We've asked for a better product on the field. That's one of the things. So that's something that is now an immediate change. Go out there and make sure that you show that, hey, we've gotten something we want as fans. We're going to now support this better football team.
Yeah, no, and I agree with everything you basically just said there. And certainly fans, by and large, they are influenced by what they read based on what they hear.
I thought
on
you were
going to
say something totally different there.
Wait, what's that?
I thought you were just going to say something totally different there.
What do you mean?
Fans, by and large, are what?
I'm not saying.
Come on. That's one of your famous lines.
No.
Or was that just, that was Americans. I'm sorry. It was more
exactly.
What you said about Americans.
I'm trying to be
right.
Nicer. Americans are stupid.
There you
Americans
go.
Are dumb.
You
fans
say it the same
are...
way every time, too. Americans, by and large.
Fans are irrational, right? They're irrational.
Well, yeah, because you're such a rational person all the time. I forgot.
Oh, you're funny. You're a good guy. Anyway, the point of the matter is this, right? Fans are often influenced by what they read. So if Dan Steinberg, back when he used to do a lot of writing, and now he's doing whatever he's doing with this daily newsletter thingy or whatever he's doing, and certainly it has been a hot topic in the Post and all of the media coverage and all the time, nonstop here on 106.7 The Fan. We have a large influence. I've always said this. Media has a large influence on how fans feel. Then you have the fans that certainly can decide for themselves, right? It's like going to a... Quite honestly, it's like going to a restaurant, right? And even though the food might be good at times, if the service is not great, if the atmosphere is not cozy and warm and inviting, if, I don't know, if the silverware is constantly dirty, just using kind of some restaurant analogies, you wouldn't keep going there day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, right? You'd find a different place to go. You'd find a different place to spend your money. You'd find a different way to spend your entertainment dollars, right? So this, to me, is not an erosion of this fan base. This, to me, is all a natural, visceral reaction that a smart and passionate and loyal fan base has had. And I don't think there's anything at all wrong with it. And I think, honestly, if you injected, and it sounds like Brian LaFamina completely knows this, and Steve Ziff and all these guys know this. I don't know if Bruce even, if it even registers on in Bruce's brain. I think Dan knows it now by force. I think if you injected them with truth serum, they know. They know how bad this situation is and how bad they let it and how much work they have to do. And they are not going to sit here and say, well, the fans should just be here 80,000 strong, all Redskins fans, 78,000 Redskins fans, because we're 6-3. No, it doesn't work that way. All right, we're going to get to some of your calls coming up here in just a moment. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Hopefully we'll have that Alex Smith cut that Nick played about 5 o'clock that I was referencing with Chad from earlier today. I thought it was a really, really smart take and spin from Alex Smith, the quarterback, and that's part of the reason why the Redskins are 6-3. People talk about his inaccuracy. People talk about his inability to throw the football downfield, all this stuff. You know what? Part of the reason why they're 6-3 is because the dude is damn smart, and he's also a pretty good leader, from what I can tell. And they also, of course, don't turn the ball over, and that's probably the largest reason they are 6-3. Along with Hollywood Nick Ashew, I am merely the Rooster. Chris Russell, JT the Vic, with us as well. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. It is a Thursday night. We are overtime on The Fan.
I mean, you got to win. You got to win consistently.
Right.
You got to build home field advantage. I mean, fans have a right to be critical of their teams. That's the nature of being a fan. So a little bit, you got to go build that thing. You know, that's my experience. You know, anywhere there is, you talk about home field advantage, you talk about these places, it's because they've earned that right, you know, and they've earned that kind of deal, and we got to go get that done, and I look forward to doing that.
All right, that is Alex Smith earlier this afternoon on 106.7 The Fan with Chad Dukes, live from Redskins Park, as he now is each and every Thursday. You can hear the entire interview at thefandc.com. Just go to Dukes's on-demand section in the podcast section, where you could also listen to all the overtime podcasts, by the way, that JT the Vic so ably carved.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Up, and you will hear that entire interview, the Alex Smith interview. Great job by Dukes. And I thought, Nick, well, you know what? I heard it when you played it at 5. I didn't just hear it now in its entirety, because JT the Vic found it necessary to hop in over the soundbite and tell me that you wanted me to know that you had gas and wanted me to know that.
That is not true. That is not anything near what I said. Although I did have chili today, so it actually would work well if the story that I told him. But
see who's the smartest guy in the room, and that's the Rooster for not coming in today.
No,
to deal with you.
You're the softy. You're the coward that didn't want to brave the roads today. Let's be honest with ourselves. You called up CK this morning. You were like, I just can't go out on the roads. There's traffic and there's snow, and I just can't deal with all the nimrods on the road. And then, therefore, you got the special treatment and got to work from home today, while all of us came outside and braved all of the elements. But you're that guy, so I expect that to happen on a regular basis.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly how it unfolded. But anyway, that sound cut, what did you make of that cut? Because I loved it. I loved what Alex Smith said. He said it so professionally, so humbly. I loved what Adrian Peterson tweeted earlier this week, where basically it was like a message that he was delivering, essentially the same thing that Josh Norman and DJ Swearinger were trying to craw about, but it was just done in a positive, motivating way instead of calling out the fans.
Hey, look, it was done in a positive way, but it's also Alex Smith being Alex Smith. Like, we're giving him credit for this, but Alex Smith has never been a guy that one is going to cross the line, rub anybody the wrong way, say anything that's controversial, or be in any way uncomfortable for people to hear. He said what he knew needed to be said in that situation, and he's always going to be the guy that says that. And I'm fine with that. I don't want my quarterback saying anything that's going to make headlines, that's going to ruffle any feathers, because we've had that before. We've been in that situation. But let's be honest with ourselves, Chris. That's Alex Smith in a nutshell right there. He's not going to go the way of Josh Norman. He lets other people say that, and then he gives the boring, politically correct.
Yeah, but what's wrong with that?
I'm not saying it's wrong.
I also call that the mature, responsible
response,
as opposed to Norman, who's a hothead.
I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is that should be expected from Alex Smith. You're not going to get it. Like, I'm not surprised at all when I hear that. I expected it to be said that way in the exact same words that he said. Alex Smith is incredibly predictable when he's on the microphone. It's not a bad thing, but he's incredibly predictable.
Okay. All right. To me, I think he deserves credit for saying it the way he did, even though that's what we, yes, have come to expect. I think I understand that Josh Norman and DJ Swearinger are wired differently, and that doesn't make them bad guys. As a matter of fact, Josh Norman is going to give out, I guess, you know, according to all the reports, and I know Kine did a big write-up, he's going to give out, he bought 50, let me see, it's 50 tickets. We don't know exactly what kind of tickets, to Sunday's game against the Texans, and he's going to hand them out at various spots, at, you know, near the Redskins training facility you know, over in Ashburn over the next 2 days. And basically, you know, he's saying, look, you know, I called out the fans. You've got to buy your own damn beer. You got to get yourself there. But I'm taking care of the cost of the tickets for at least 50 people. Come out and see the game.
And listen, that's putting your words into action. And
yeah,
that's the right
yeah.
approach. If you're going to be somebody that's going to speak out like that, somebody yep. that's, again, going to do the opposite of Alex Smith and ruffle feathers and,
yes.
and say things that are going to make a lot of people upset and really be the dominating headline this week as opposed to the fact that the Redskins are 6-3,
right.
instead the conversation is, well, you hear what Josh Norman said. Hey, here's, you hear what he said. Oh, yeah, is he right? Is he wrong? That became the conversation all week.
Exactly.
But he went out and made an effort and said, like, I didn't have to buy 10,000 tickets. Wouldn't. I mean, that would be expensive even for a guy that makes as much money as Josh Norman makes. Go out, get 50 tickets, and say, hey, I'm giving them out. Let's start fixing this fan experience for everybody and get you out there. By the way, we're 6-3, which also fans should take into consideration and be like, hey, we want a team that's winning. We've got a team that's winning. But, like, we've got this narrative now with Redskins fans, Chris, where it's like everybody is afraid to even accept the fact that they are 6-3, but we're poking holes in it. And rightfully so, it's a very flawed team.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, let's just enjoy the fact that they have a 2-game lead in the division and they're 6-3 right now.
All right, coming up next, we'll take your calls at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We're going to come right to you. Also, we're going to try and get a gauge on what each one of us think the crowd is actually going to look like on Sunday against the Houston Texans. Again, 2-6-3 teams going at it, two teams with different paths, and we're actually going to talk some football, some X's and O's, and what the keys are for each team and what the Redskins have to do and can't do in order to move to 7-3 as they kick off the two-team Texas Tango over about a 4.5-day span, because, again, they play Thanksgiving Day at Dallas. It is Hollywood, Nick Ashew. I'm merely the Rooster, Chris Russell. Good to have you aboard. JT the Vic alongside as well. And you at 800-636-1067. This is Overtime on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. All right, it is Overtime here on a Thursday night. Snowy, rainy, disgusting around the nation's capital. Hope you're being safe out there. Hope you're being warm, or hope you're getting warm. Something like that. Good to have you aboard, along with Hollywood Nick Ashew. I'm Chris Russell. We're with you till 8 o'clock. Craig Hoffman joins us in a half an hour. We'll have a small portion of his exclusive interview with Brian LaFemina right before he joins us. You've heard from Alex Smith, who was an exclusive guest of Chad Dukes versus the World, or Chad Dukes on Chad Dukes versus the World earlier today from Redskins Park on 106.7 The Fan. Again, you can hear that entire interview on demand in the podcast section. Audio on demand at thefandc.com is basically the short way of saying that. But I was very impressed, not that it was unexpected, by what Alex Smith had to say. Nick Ashew is with us. He was, I don't want to say less than impressed, but basically he expected what Alex Smith said in the wake of what Josh Norman and DJ Swearinger said earlier in the week. And Norman, to his credit, again, is giving 50 free tickets out, I guess, over the next day or so near Redskins Park for the game. But he says, hey, look, you know, I'm not buying beer and all that other stuff. You got to get there and you got to buy your own stuff. But I'll give you the free ticket if you're one of the 50 that gets their hands on one of these tickets. So at least he's doing something good to try and get some people in the building. Nick, before we go to the call, real quickly, all this talk all week long, good, bad, indifferent, passion, whatever it is, do you think it will have a big effect on the crowd for 2-6-3 teams this Sunday at FedEx Field, Houston, and the Washington Redskins?
I don't think fans are bought in totally yet. I look at this and I see still a lot of fans that say meh, a lot of fans that say 6-3, but they don't pass the ball. The offense isn't very good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm really ready for this yet. Oh, by the way, it's cold. It's going to take some time. And we knew that this has been happening for a while, Chris. Like, this is nothing new. We knew that the wait list was fake. It was a phony. We knew that that was the case for a right. long time. But at the same time, we're finally now seeing the erosion happen. Now, I would like to clarify with this is that it's not erosion where people aren't Redskins fans anymore. It's just Redskins fans saying, give me more consistency. Give mm-hmm. me more of what I'm looking for the
Correct.
Experience for me to show back up again. And really,
and,
that's
and
the difference.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
I'm sorry. People can think those are bad fans all they want. And if you're a true fan, you'll be there rain, snow, sleet, hot, one in 15, 15, bull crap. That's not the way the world works. That is the incorrect view. That is dumb. That is ignorant. That is stupid. That is piggish. That is blind. That is homerism at its very best. Reality is what the Redskins fans, quite honestly, are saying and doing and showing. And quite honestly, it's what every one of us, I think, has said over the last decade, 15 years. Hey, the only way you guys are going to get your point across about whatever you're upset about, and we're not encouraging you to be angry or upset or hostile or anything. The only way you're going to get your point across is by doing it by not showing up or by not continuing to line the pockets. Now, real quickly, on Sunday, we should point out it's going to be a pretty nice day for late November, week before Thanksgiving. 48 degrees ish, right around there, give or take a couple of degrees, depending on how the forecast changes, and less than a 10% chance of humidity, of precipitation. So it doesn't look like it's going to be bad. So weather, I don't think, is going to be a major factor. But I'm right with you. Before we get to the calls here at 800-636-1067, I think there's going to be still 10,000-15,000-ish empty seats. Houston is not a team that travels, clearly. They're not a team that has any local or regional interest. They're not a national team by any means or a national brand. And again, it's the week before Thanksgiving. People are shopping. People are getting ready for the holiday. I agree with you completely. People are not fully bought in, and I don't blame them. Think about this. The Redskins are 3-2 at home, which I suppose is not bad, right? 3-2 at home, but two of their worst losses of the three that they have came in front of the FedEx Field faithful. And that sits with people if they're on the fence about going to this game. That sits with people. Now, the one thing that I would say might boost this is all the attention it's getting, one. And two, Nick, the fact that this is the last home game until I believe it's, December 10th or 9th or whatever it is against the Giants, because the next two are on the road at Dallas Thanksgiving and then at Philadelphia on that Monday night football after about an 11-day break in between. 800-636-1067. Why don't we hit the phones, Mr. Ashew? Why don't you dial us up there on the Hadid carpet cleaning list?
Yeah, I do want to go back real quick to something you said, because you went on for 5 minutes and didn't allow me a chance to have a conversation because you forgot about me back here in the studio. Oh. I braved the ill elements and you stay home in your cushy house with no pants on tonight. But you did bring up the fact
TV mogul, you.
Well, that has nothing to do with any of this. It was just that you forgot about me while you're at home in your cushy situation.
I did not forget about you.
The whole narrative of, fans should show up no matter whether the team's winning or losing or the weather is good or bad, that's created by fans, or that's created by organizations. That whole narrative is a great marketing scheme that's been drilled into fans' heads for decades, that you have to do that no matter what, because if you are an organization and you are terrible, you want fans to feel guilty for not showing up so you can put a terrible product out there and they'll still actually do it. This is like going back into a relationship over and over and over again after she continually ignores you and is possessive and is controlling and is angry and really a terrible person to be around, but you're not loyal in your relationship. And you're dating. You're not married, by the way. You're just dating because you don't show up and give her the support she needs, even though she's terrible to you or he's terrible to you. Whatever the case is, it's the same thing. This is still a business, and we talk about how it's a business, and it's handled like a business. And in the end, if you're a fan, you're a consumer. And you're not going to go to a bad restaurant if they keep giving you terrible food, but they tell you, well, you're a terrible customer because you don't come back. No, you give us a terrible product. Therefore, we're not paying for your terrible product. And that's the difference. And it's created by teams to make fans feel guilty about it. You have every right in the world, if you are a fan, to not show up if you don't like the way the organization treats you in that relationship. All right, let's go to Christian in Silver Spring. Turn the radio down, Christian. What's up? You're on overtime.
Yeah, I turned it out. How you doing,
man? What's up, man?
What's up, Christian?
How you doing?
All right. Go ahead, Christian.
So basically what I've been trying to say is, I feel like the fan base is shying off from the team because I feel like the team has been searching for a quarterback for so long. We finally had Kirk Cousins in the building. He had been there for a long time, and he was putting up numbers. And, yeah, the team wasn't winning, but the fan base was behind the team because they had hope in Kirk. Right now we see our biggest issue right now, I feel like, is our quarterback play. And I think if we had better quarterback play, we'd have more fans in the building.
Well, so let me jump in here because it's an interesting dynamic. I think part of the reason why people are not juiced up, excited up, all in a lather is because they don't believe in the quarterback. They don't believe in the fact that the offense is stagnant and is not getting that much appreciably better. And it's hard to argue with the bottom line reality. I do think it's closer than most people think, but I could be completely wrong. And we'll find out against a really good defense in the Houston Texans this Sunday. But I would add this. Many fans hated Kirk Cousins, and they were just so tired of the money and the contracts and the what they couldn't consider holding the organization hostage and this, that, and the other thing. I don't think fans are like, oh, man, look at what we let out the door, and now we're stuck with this guy. That's why I'm not going. I think there's something to be said for the offense being boring, vanilla, stagnant, and not exciting enough, and, again, not having sexy back in the offense and not being able to be exciting and juicy. But I don't think it's about Kirk Cousins, Nick, unless you disagree.
No, fans got tired of the way that was handled by the organization and by Cousins, and it was a drawn-out process for 2 years. Like, it's one thing if that had happened for, really, 2015, and then they solved it in the offseason, and that was it. Nobody was going to complain. It was that it dragged on for multiple seasons, and there was a point where fans just got tired of the conversation. You wanted some stability, and you wanted some long-term direction from the team, even though there is a lot of long-term direction with this team. They've built a great defense. They address really their biggest weakness besides the question mark at quarterback, and that was the defensive line. And now it's one of the best in the NFL. So they've done a lot to address some of the needs, at least, that they had. And you could argue that they certainly addressed the need, or we thought they did, with Darius Geis before he got hurt, and the running back position. So there was a lot of forward progress from this organization. The problem is, you know this, that when you're the quarterback of the Redskins, that's always where the spotlight shines the brightest, and that's going to continue to be something that people are going to pay attention to because Alex Smith isn't...
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Putting up the numbers that they want. But again, I would rather be 6-3 right now and have a 2-game lead in the division with Alex Smith as my quarterback than Kirk Cousins throwing the ball for 400 yards in a game, but they're losing every other week and they're, you know, a 2 games under 500.
All right, we got to take a quick timeout. We'll come back, get more of your calls, plus a small snippet of Craig Hoffman's exclusive conversation with Brian LaFemina on Josh Norman, on the Redskins fan base and ticket issues, and what the crowd might look like against the Houston Texans on Sunday. That's next right here, Overtime on The Fan. All right, again, we'll hear a small portion of Craig Hoffman's sit-down, exclusive sit-down with Brian LaFemina on this very issue with Norman and the crowd and all that stuff just coming up in a moment or two, a couple moments, actually, and then Hoffman will join us on the other side of 7:30. But, Nick, I understand we have a ton of phone calls, so why don't we go right back there on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines.
Andrew in D.C., you're on Overtime.
Andrew.
Hello.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much. You know, we don't have much control over how the team performs unless in the long run we judge them by their long-run record. But we do have an incentive to attend the games if parking is cut, costs, if concessions are cut. And I wish you'd talk about that and what effect you think it would have.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we all have talked about it because the Redskins did incorporate a season ticket program for the first time with incentives. The problem is those incentives, quite honestly, weren't for people that weren't season ticket holders. and that's what they have to do next, quite honestly. They tried to, hey, we really want you to be a season ticket holder because we want you here all the time and we want to lock you in and we're going to give you an incentive to do it. Nick, now they need to take the next step and they need to give everyone incentives to be there on a weekly basis or on a game by game basis. Oh, and by the way, they never did anything, season ticket or individual game ticket, about the parking situation.
Yeah, we've also seen too. It has worked in places like Atlanta.
Yes.
Their new stadium, they made more money than they ever have off concessions, and it was like $2 for a hot dog. It was something reasonable.
In fairness, those ticket prices, now it's a brand new stadium, and they were coming off of a Super Bowl. Those ticket prices are, I mean, exorbitant. I think the average ticket price is like $300 or something like that. Maybe that might be off by a couple of...
Well, stadium looks like a spaceship, it's going to cost that much.
Exactly.
So.
I mean, that's what you're going to pay, especially coming off a Super Bowl and, like you said, brand new gigs. All right, who else do we have?
Dominic in Ohio, what's up?
Dominic!
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it.
What's up, Dom?
Hey, so my comments are kind of twofold here. I think we lost a lot of the fan base week two against Indy. I mean, we dominated week one. We had this strong running game. Our O-line dominated. Our D-line dominated. We had an opportunity to build something, and we had an opportunity to dismiss the old narrative of a team that we should have beat talent-wise, just kind of overall station. Now, Indy's played a lot better in the week since, but we had that opportunity to go in there, and we absolutely laid an egg. And it just reset the narrative in everybody's mind of same old Redskins, win one, lose one. We play down to our competition. We can't do this. If we didn't have that, if we won that game ugly and we, you know, ground and pound and we squeaked one out, you know, 20-17 or whatever the case may be, and we were sitting at 7-2 right now, and the two losses we had were one against a Drew Brees team that might be the favorite to win the Super Bowl, and the other against an Atlanta team where we kind of got jobbed a few times and things just didn't break our way. But two super high-powered offenses with stars all over the place. It's a very different conversation to have where we can say, okay, hey, we didn't match up well with these two teams. These two teams can go out and beat anybody in the NFL in any given day.
No, that's a good point, Dom. I think that's a pretty reasonable perspective. Appreciate the phone call. Nick, I don't know what you make out of that. I mean, clearly that Indianapolis loss hurt. Now, Indianapolis, I think, to be fair, is much better than people thought
they
were going to be.
And that's the thing I tried to say at the beginning of the year was that everybody was sitting here acting like that was going to be a terrible team, but they addressed their offensive line, and if Andrew Luck is healthy and has time to throw the football, he won't turn it over, and he's not getting sacked anymore. And we're
more importantly, they've stopped the run all – I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in. More importantly, they've stopped the run all year, too, which is the Redskins' strength and really the only thing that has worked consistently in their offense.
Yeah, it's hard to go back and look at a loss that early in the season and think that it's still affecting people now, especially when the team is 6-3.
I mean,
you think it was no impact at all?
Not
at this point.
Okay.
If you're thinking about the Colts' loss right now when you're 6-3, you need to stop living in the past and come forward and look at this team right now.
Interesting. All right. 800-636-1067. Why don't we grab another one or two before we hear the La Femina portion
Edward in Bladensburg. You're on overtime.
Ed. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? What's going on, Nick?
Hey, man.
Nick?
Hey, I saw you in the Wizards, post-game yesterday. You look pretty good, man. You're making me laugh, Nick.
Thanks. That is the goal.
Wait a second. Don't blow up his ego any more than it already is.
Let the man say something nice. Shut up, Rooster.
I personally thought Wes Hall's analysis and perspective was
Wes
the
Wes Hall
only,
likes working with me more than you, and you're jealous
now. Was the only entertaining portion
of
that show.
Let Edward please speak. Do not listen to Russell. Please. It's your turn.
All right, so here's my analogy. I want you guys to think about these two seasons I'm going to talk about. Do we remember, or do you all remember, when RG3 came in, this team was 10-6, rolled off 7 straight wins, and went to the playoffs?
Sure.
I won't say laid an egg because RG3 ultimately tore the rest of his ACL really in that game and was doomed for the rest of the next season. Do you remember the season in 2015 when the Redskins, they said, won a flawed NFC East? Yet again, with Kirk Cousins at 9-7 and beat up on Philadelphia and Philly.
Sure.
Was FedEx Field not packed during those times? If anything, at least 60,000 plus fans there. I attended 2015 playoff game. It was loud.
Yep.
It was a big crowd. There was you like that rally towels waving everywhere. Now, granted, Green Bay is a traveling fan, so you're not going to keep them out. Mm-hmm. Okay? But there was at least 80,000 fans in that stadium, and I want to say at least 75,000 plus was Redskins fans.
Yeah, I was there too.
It was that year.
I was there. I was very passionate for the Redskins.
Right. Yeah. So the point I'm getting at with that is we're 6-3, and when I look at Twitter, it pisses me off so much because if this team was 3-6, we'll be stabbing each other in the back talking about how bad the team is. We're sitting at 6-3. Yes, we're squeaking out ugly wins, But what I mean by 3-6 we could be sitting at is that we usually be losing those games. We're finding ways to win games that we usually just come out, eat a hot dog on the sideline, and do nothing. We have to take it for what it is. This team has an opportunity to be better on the defensive side of the ball than those last two teams ever was,
yeah.
And to be have a better record than those two teams even did overall. Mm-hmm. Two-thirds of our record can be better than those 19 win two seasons right there.
Yeah, I mean, let it play out. And it to me, I understand your perspective, Ed, but I think it's hard to, again, crush fans for being skeptical cautious.
I will say this, Chris. If they win on Sunday,
yes.
That's going to change a lot of the narrative and a lot of the perception from fans.
Houston is a big-time opponent. Six-game winning streak, good offense, great defense, or at least a great front seven, no doubt about it. I think it changes a lot. I think it changes the context and the temperature around here a lot. All right, let's get to, before we get to Craig Hoffman live, he sat down earlier today at Redskins Park with Brian LaFamina. You've heard the name. You know what he's about, I think. Why don't we hear Craig and LaFamina talk about Josh Norman's comments and get LaFamina's perspective on what Josh was trying to get at exclusively here on The Fan.
The aftermath of what Josh said after last Sunday's game and kind of, but also your life's work for the last 4 months, because they are interconnected. But I want to start with what your reaction was when you heard Josh's comments or saw Josh's comments.
The aftermath. You make it sound so dramatic. Listen, I understand where Josh was coming from. We just finished a great win down in Tampa. He heard, you know, thousands of Redskins fans cheering for him. Very exciting whenever you're on the road and you get that kind of support. And, you know, as afterwards, and you were standing there, having a conversation, we were talking about what it's like playing it at FedEx Field, and I think he said, you know, listen, it'd be great if we really got that fan base up and super loud. And so I understand what he wants. I know what he said. I think I understand even better what he meant. And I think what he meant was, you know, they want to have a dominant home field advantage, and that's what we've been working on the business side since I got here at the beginning of June. And I think in the first media session I did when I got here, I talked about how that's part of our experience that we want to improve upon.
Yeah, no, I thought that was striking too, was thinking about all the work you guys have been doing. When he said that, I was like, well, this is stuff that has already been said in a lot of ways. Maybe it wasn't said as tactfully in the heat of the moment as it tends to happen after you exhaust yourself in a 60-minute football game. But I'm unsurprised to see that you guys are talking about it this week. I'm curious, though, you know, whether it's going on Twitter or listening to the radio or however else you consumed fan reaction to Josh's comments. Has there been anything that surprised you from the reaction?
Not really. I think you know, I think that night I knew that there'd be a reaction to it. And I think that Josh knew that too. And, it, you know, as soon as we got back to Redskins Park, what hasn't been, you know, reported all that much is, you know, Josh sent another tweet out really trying to clarify mm-hmm. what it was that he meant to say. And it's been, I think it's been good. Listen, at the end of the day, our fans, our players, and those of us who work on the business side, we all want the same thing. So, you know, it was made out to be that there was some sort of big separation between, you know, what Josh was saying and what our fans want. And when you think about the games that we've had here at FedEx Field this year, the Dallas game was an unbelievable environment. And the Panthers game, as they were coming down the field on that last drive, I'm telling you, our fans impacted the way that offense was looking at the world. And even Atlanta, I mean, I was with somebody on the sideline at the beginning of the Atlanta game, and we were commenting about just how up the crowd was. Now, that game didn't go as we all wanted it to. And, you know, as they say in the business, sometimes fans get taken out of the game. And so you heard some Atlanta fans. But by and large, I think our fans have been loud and proud at FedEx Field. Obviously, we're doing what we can on the game presentation side to get them into the game and to try to make sure that whatever opposing fans are there are kept in check. But it didn't bother me even a little bit, because I think that, you know, Josh is a competitor. Our fans want us to win, and they're so passionate that when we're not winning or when we're not having the result we want on the field, they're expressing themselves, which I think is completely fine too.
All right, so that was a portion of the Brian LaFamina interview with Craig Hoffman, exclusive interview, which you can hear in its entirety on Countdown to Kickoff Sunday morning before the Redskins host the Texans. Craig will join us live in just a matter of moments. All right, good to have you with us. It is Overtime on The Fan. Take you up till 8 o'clock Thursday night football at that point right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, along with Hollywood Nick Ashew. I'm Chris Russell. Good to be with you guys. And we just played a portion of Craig Hoffman's exclusive sit-down interview with Brian LaFemina from earlier today at Redskins Park. Again, you'll hear the whole thing on Countdown to Kickoff Sunday morning before the Redskins and the Texans, and Craig joins us now. He's been, of course, at Redskins Park each and every day covering the Redskins, doing a great job. You can follow him at Craig Hoffman, read him, thefandc.com, and, of course, hear him regularly throughout each and every day on the radio station. Mr. Hoffman, thank you very much. Great job on the LaFemina spot. We just played again a portion of it. It was basically the, I would say that I think the first two questions and answers I cut up mostly about Josh Norman. What stood out to you, and maybe the portion that we haven't been able to hear, is this part about the sit down with LaFemina?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff I've heard from Brian before, and I think that in a way is somewhat the story. This is a very consistent person who is now in charge of reshaping and reframing and repairing really the relationship between the fans and the organization. And, you know, he talked about how he is out in the parking lot every single weekend talking to fans. He is trying so hard to collect data. He is on Twitter. You know, I know that he looked at, basically he searched my replies after I tweeted out the full quote from Norman and it exploded the other night. So, you know, Twitter is one way, but they're going way beyond that from, and he talked about a project they're looking forward to embarking on this offseason where they get in touch with previous season ticket holders and with genuine care, reach out and say, why aren't you a season ticket holder anymore? What would it take for you to come back? What can we do for you? And I think that really comes through in the interview, that this is a guy who is on a mission. And I also appreciate that he understands that this is going to be a very difficult mission, because there has been a lot of stuff that has happened over the 25 years of Dan Snyder's ownership that people hold a grudge for and harbor resentment for.
Do you expect, Craig, this to be something where he's sticking around long term and really seeing this through to, you know, eventually a new stadium and trying to make things better now, but also looking at the long term future of this, because he's a name we certainly hear a lot. He's somebody that seems to rub people the right way. I don't even know if that's the right expression, but we'll just go with that. But at the same time, we can see there's a fan base that it's really angry with the way things have gone. And this is, like you said, a long-term fix right now for them.
You can't expect to fix it somewhere between 7 to 8. Like, if you want to start it when they hired Bruce, or you want to go all the way back to the beginning, whatever period of time that is years and years. You can't fix that in 4 months. And that is where, and not to like defend Brian, but, I mean, he understands that this is going to be a long-term thing, and he signed up for it. He wants to be here. He is very fond of Dan Snyder and had good relationships with him going back to his days in the league office, and he understands and is starting to even better understand this fan base in this city. And I think he took this project on because he wanted to do something big. You know, he probably could have gone to other teams. He probably could have taken on easier things. You don't sign up for this job unless you want to do something big. And that's why the answer to your question pointedly is yes. I do think Brian LaFemina and Steve Ziff, who we hire, the chief marketing officer, and Jake Bai, who's in charge of ticket sales. Like, I think these guys are in it for the long term. And I think especially for LaFemina, this is like on some level, Brian's not old, but he's, you know, in the prime of his executive type career, like, this is a capstone type project, something that could take a decade. But then you go, yeah, I'm the one who repaired and got the Redskins back to a brand that people love, because obviously, you know, as best as he can, he also realizes the football side, which, you know, we talk about too, that has the most to do with it. If this team won, that would fix everything. But repairing the relationships, I think, is like his capstone project. And yes, he's here for the long term to do it.
I can talk about this issue for, you know, for days and days and days. Craig Hoffman had the exclusive interview with Brian LaFemina. Again, you'll hear the entire interview on Countdown to Kickoff Sunday before the Redskins host the Houston Texans, 2-6-3 teams. But Craig, just for the purposes of time, Again, people are losing sight of this. This is a huge football game. I know it's not a divisional game. I know it's not even a conference game, but the Texans have won six in a row. They scare the daylights out of me because they're really good on offense and really good on defense, yet they haven't beaten anybody great in this six-game stretch. A lot of people say the same thing about the Redskins, that none of their six wins have come against great teams. How do you see this matchup going? Because in some ways it smells like Atlanta, but I think it'll be different than Atlanta.
Yeah, schematically, Houston's not Atlanta. To me, this is like the Spider-Man meme where, you know, they've got the two teams look, or the two Spider-Mans looking at each other like, oh, look, you, it's me. That's a lot of what I think of this. We're like, these teams are very, very similar in terms of the level at which they're capable. I think Houston's offense is probably better, where the Redskins' defense is probably better, but both units are solid. You know, Houston's offense can be transcendent, and the Redskins' defense can be transcendent, but week in, week out, you know, they're doing enough to win. I think that there's clearly flaws in each unit, and in all four units. Houston offensively cannot protect Deshaun Watson like they'd like to, but they're also massively explosive with DeAndre Hopkins, and now Demaryius Thomas makes guarding them a lot harder. Their run game is solid. On the defensive side, you know, they're awesome with Watt and Clowney, but teams have been able to score on them at times. You know, and obviously we know the Redskins' flaws. So they're very even level-wise. I don't think either of these teams are A-type teams. I think they're solidly B teams, and it's just going to come down to who executes better on Sunday.
And we're talking to Craig Hoffman. We know Trent Williams is out. Chris Thompson, Jamison Crowder most likely out as well.
Yeah. Jay opened the door a little bit on Chris today. Jamison has been frustrating. I thought he might come back 2 weeks ago, and he still has not. It's just the ankle's not getting to the point where it needs to be. Chris, I think, is going to be out, but Jay did open the door a little bit after closing it basically yesterday. They're going to, I think, try to test him out tomorrow, but at the end of the day, I think you're looking at Capri Bibbs, and Trent definitely is out, and I think he's probably going to be out for Thanksgiving too.
Let me pile on top of that. Chris, even before he got hurt the first time, did not look like Chris Thompson, certainly of last year. And a lot of that was much like Jordan Reed. It takes these guys a long time to get back in football game shape. And I think Jordan is just starting to hit his stride now. Maybe you disagree. I don't know. A lot of people are down on him, whatever. But Chris did not look like Chris Thompson before the New Orleans injury. So have they, I guess based on what they were getting from Thompson before he went out the first time, have they lost a lot in terms of what Bibbs is giving them, or is that unfair?
Yeah, they've lost. I don't know a lot. Capri's played decently well, but, you know, for a team that needs every third down conversion, the guy who converts for you a lot, whether by massive pass blocking, and Capri actually is a really good pass blocker, has done a good job, or the ability to somehow magically cross the chains, he's the best, man. And Capri's done a nice job at times, but, you know, these plays where it's like, oh yeah, that was a nice catch, a nice run, but he's 2 yards short. Mm-hmm. Chris finds a way to get there, and those things matter for this team. I think that Chris looked good the first couple of weeks. Teams started to really focus on him, and that opened up other things. And since he's been out, the production's been down. I don't think that's coincidental, even though it was a small sample size early. And getting him back would be massive because, you know, even if Capri plays pretty well, teams don't respect him like they do CT. And when you can dictate coverage with a running back, that opens up a lot of things for others.
Well, that's fair. It's a good point. I forgot about that touchdown that he had in Arizona to open up the season, part of a big season-opening win for the Redskins. Again, here the entire interview with Brian LaFemina on Countdown to Kickoff. I'm sure you'll hear portions of it throughout the day tomorrow here on The Fan. Craig did it earlier today at Redskins Park. He has all the coverage of the Redskins and the Texans. Craig, thank you very much for your time. As always, pal, appreciate it, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Craig. All right,
that's Craig Hoffman with us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, covering the Redskins from head to toe, A to Z, and everything in between. We'll come back, put the icing on the cake. Hollywood, we got a couple of NBA things we got to get to, huh?
Yeah,
because that's your jam. So we'll do that next on The Fan. Thanks to Craig Hoffman, who joined us there. And we have a big game coming up for you on Sunday afternoon. The Houston Texans and the Washington Redskins. All the coverage all day long on Sunday. Of course, we still have to get to Sunday. We'll have Countdown to Kickoff again, where you'll hear that whole entire La Famina interview with Craig, with Earl and Andy, and then the Junks pregame show from I don't know what location they're doing it. Honestly, Glory Day Grills. I'm sure they'll announce it tomorrow morning. I'm not sure what location they're at, but they'll be at some Glory Days Grill. Alexandria. Speaking of Alexandria, Nick, did you know I'll be in Alexandria tomorrow? Are you going to come see me from 9 to 11 at the 7-Eleven on Eisenhower Avenue in Alexandria?
No, I will not, but I'll be with you in spirit. If you'd like, you can call me and we can chat on the phone. We could FaceTime
I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to see you.
Well, then why would you want me to come see
you? Well, because I just don't want to be alone.
Oh, I don't. You always have people show up to these things. What are you talking about?
That's true.
You've got like this army of loyal fans. I don't know why you don't acknowledge that enough.
Well, you know, I try and be.
Say humble, because I know you don't try to be humble. So don't even let that word come out of your mouth describing you, because that ain't Russell.
You know what we're doing? We're giving away all sorts of free medium drinks. I mean, it's going to be chilly, right? So I don't know how many people are going to get Slurpees, but you can get like a free medium espresso.
Yeah, that sounds good.
You know, hot coffee or whatever. We're giving away free medium drinks, and it's not only that location. It's like 21 locations around the DMV. All you got to do is text 7-11-7 free to 7-11-7. 11, or you can come and see me. I'll be there with bells on, and maybe we can have a big bite together.
Are you really going to wear bells?
Oh, no.
That would be amazing if you did that. Are you going to do the Salvation Army ring the bell to get donations type thing? I guess it's too early for that. By the way, you know Landfill is a very big fan of 7-Eleven. Will he show up to hang out
really
with you?
I did not know that.
I'm just guessing. I don't know.
How is Landfill a big fan of 7-Eleven when they don't have a drive-thru?
He likes the hot dogs. I'm just guessing. I actually have no idea. I just wanted to see if you were going to say something.
I don't know if that's
him.
A good guess, quite honestly. I mean, I know we bust each other's chops a lot. I think you might be off on that just because they don't have a drive-thru.
Yeah, but every once in a while, let's put it this way. He today during the show was trying to figure out what he was going to eat for dinner, and he was looking at Cracker Barrel, and Cracker Barrel doesn't deliver. So he was looking at they would walk out to his car. By the way, I also found out from him that he still would prefer to eat in his car over his bed, which I feel like that's a reasonable question. Where would you rather eat, your bed or your car? But he chose his car still.
Wait a second.
I know.
There is something called a table.
He likes to be as comfortable as possible.
You don't think Landfill ever eats at a kitchen table with mom and pop?
Probably not. He likes to eat in his car. And I assume that the next step would be the bed.
I hate eating in my car.
Me too. It's the worst.
It always makes a mess.
I am that guy too. It's just, it's not a good choice at all.
No. Especially when you're driving. I mean, it's a little bit different when you're stationary, but I don't even like it then. I don't even like takeout food. I'd rather not go out to eat, period, because it's too expensive. It's not good for you. Whatever. It's never exactly what you want. But if I have to go out, I'd rather eat it there because it's by the time you get it home, it's not hot anymore. Unless you're getting not a hot meal, like a sandwich or something.
The best is always to eat in the restaurant. I mean, you know that. You're always going to get it fresh if you get it right there. That's why he eats in his car. Doesn't have to get out, and then he puts himself in a position where he can say, I'm still getting it fresh. I'm just sitting in my car. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I make a mess whenever I, if we're on some road trip and we stop and get food and lucky enough to have a sheets there, I always overdo it on a chicken sandwich, and then there's
sheets.
I have sautéed onions on there. I'm like, this is a terrible idea. It's falling all over me right now.
And that's when the fireworks really begin, because I've been around you after you've eaten. Woo, man,
it's only certain foods.
Yeah, like everything that you eat. All right,
we've got
a minute and a half. Go on the NBA.
Go.
Draymond Green got kicked in the nuts, finally, by someone else.
I saw your tweet. Were you proud of yourself when
good,
you put that tweet out there?
It was good.
It was pretty good. It wasn't as good as your tweet today to J.P. Finley, though. That was the best. I will give you credit for that. And it was a movie reference, which is amazing. Because you and movie references don't really walk hand in hand usually. This is going to be something that's going to continue with the Warriors, and this is why. You have a lot of guys that are going to be free agents, a lot of guys and a lot of egos, and quite honestly, a team that's bored. They keep winning, and they're like, this is the regular season. We're getting tired of this. We've been around the same guys for a while. At some point, you get bored. And keep in mind, if you're the Warriors and you had to choose between Durant and Draymond Green, you're choosing Kevin Durant. Like, let's be honest with ourselves. You're doing that. Draymond Green may be able to do a lot on the court for them, but he wants a max deal. He ain't getting it from them. He's not going to be in their long-term plans, and they showed that by saying, yeah, we're suspending you because we're on Durant's side.
All right. And lastly, Carmelo Anthony is getting out of Houston at some point. That was the big deal today. I mean, I want nothing to do with that guy, even though he's from Baltimore. And the Wizards are riding a 3-game winning streak. Watch Nick, along with my guy, Wes Hall, on Wizards Outsiders on NBC Sports.
Throwing shots. We're on tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Wizards tip at 7, so we are on at 6, and then we're on 30 minutes after the game. But we're going to be on the My Teams app only. 30 minutes commercial-free on the My Teams
app for post-game. All right, Mr. Promotion. Yeah. Thanks to JT the Vic. Thanks to you guys for listening. See you at 7-Eleven.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.